As a millennial, it's really common for you to want the financial security doing what you love. The problem is, you need to know where and how to find it. This can be frustrating, and it often makes you feel like a loser.
In Finding Mojo, we will help the millennials to get started in their journey to contented life by building the networks of life and at the same time benefiting the people around them. Welcome to Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico.
Hello, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Finding Mojo, the podcast for millennials on the go. Today's topic is quite interesting as we look into a new subculture of cosplay, where people put on a costume and roleplay a character from anime, comic, TV, movies, and video games. Actually, it's not that new. It's new to me because I'm in a different generation. Historically, it sort of like started in 1939, where people dress up in futuristic costumes. They attended First World Science Fiction Convention in New York. But the term cosplay came from a Japanese term, kosopuri, something like that.
Your guess is as good as mine, Zana.
Kosopuri. That's become Italian now.
Yeah, I know.
It became a subculture in the 1990s. So it's so popular now with the millennials that some take it to the next level of being a professional cosplayer and make a living out of a hobby. So I see cosplay as an expression of visual art. They are the same as any artist out there, you know, no different to TV or movie actors, because once you actually put that costume, you play acting and you become someone else.
That's right.
So who do we have in the house today, Nico?
Zana, we have a very special guest. She is young, she is talented, she cosplays, she streams nightly. She's a gaming creator. She's a content creator as well at the same time. We'll discover it together. Everyone who's locked in to this podcast, of course, Funny Mojo with Zana and Nico. This podcast is brought to you by our friends from BSA Solutions Incorporated. Help us welcome Mai Sembolante.
Woo!
Yay!
So, fans, thank you.
I wanted to like jump in and ask you this. What? Why mice? Because if you spell it as M-A-I-S, so in Cebu, we call it mais. Zana, yeah. Do you know what mais is?
Yes, corn.
Correct. Now, why mais? I thought it was going to be pronounced like so, mais, but you said it's mice. But why? Why,
oh,
why
mice? I think that newer people who know me would probably know me as like that name already, like that handle, like in game. But usually my real name is Miles, actually. And then some people can't hear that properly or can't easily like say it. So when I go like, just call me Mice or something like Mice, just eradicate the L in the between. So it's like, and then the corn happened. It happened on Twitch, like from stream chat. It's like, you know what? It sounds like corn. It's like, okay, let's keep the corn then. let's keep it the corn.
So basically it's the recall. Since that's how they got to know you, then you stuck with it.
Yeah, like it doesn't really bother. It's like, okay, real name fine. Like nicknames also fine. Thank you.
Mice or Miles. It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
By the way, Mice, how young are you?
We have this joke all the time. I just say I'm 500 years old. But I am actually surprisingly, I just turned 31 this year.
31?
Wow. Yeah. So I am a millennial.
Yes.
Yeah, I am.
Still falls in the category. So yes. You'd be perfect for this podcast, of course, because you want to have these millennials who listen to the podcast eventually find their mojo in whatever endeavors they actually go for. Now, talking about cosplay, I know you've done this for a long time. When did you start?
I started, like, if I can say, like, I started, like, putting on costumes properly would probably be around, I was 17. It was in UP. There were, like, barely people during the first event I've ever went to.
Mm-hmm.
Around 250 people.
That's a lot. If you ask me, that's a lot. 250?
No, that's, like, for all the days. So, like, that's really, like, compared to, like, the 20,000 that it draws in now. So
right.
Yeah. So that was like the first actual cosplay I did, but when I was a child, I really pretended I had superpowers ever since.
Okay, so
ever since a child, like so, I've always liked anime. I've always liked comic books. I have three brothers. I have two older brothers, so I was very exposed to that early on in my life. So very, very young, I would dress up anything from my closet, pretend I'm the superhero or this character, and then I had no idea it was an actual thing when I got older. So yay okay. me.
That year was what? Was it in the 2010s? Was it in the 20, like,
I was 17.
Like,
I have to do math. Wait.
Was it late 20?
2007.
2007. And you were how young then?
17.
17.
Wow. My real first costume. Not really. I just like went to a thrift store and put everything together and like sewed stuff on it. That was it.
What got you into cosplay? Were your brothers into cosplay or were your friends into cosplay?
Actually, fun story. When I was in college, I had a friend from Manila who was like, he would always like tease me about stuff. Like, oh, you have really big eyes. You look like anime. Like, you should try cosplaying. It's like, what the heck is that? What is that? So I did that, you know, internet. Oh, this is what I did, like when I was a child, but elevated. So okay. That's what I decided to do. Like, you know what? I should try. And then back in the day, events were only like once, twice a year. So I had like a lot of time to prepare. So it was like that for the first 3 years of cosplay locally. Mm-hmm. But in Manila, they have that every month. Here, we had like once, twice a year.
I heard about that because I had a trainer back when I was in the BPO. And he was like telling me they did that a lot too. I did see him in costumes. He went for like the Ghost Fighters. I think he went for Alfred. I totally forgot. But yeah, one of those guys from Ghost Fighter. How big is the cosplay subculture here? I know it was like really big back then, but nowadays, like in the 2020s, in this generation, how big is cosplay? Is it still there? What's the deal?
Now, locally? Mm-hmm.
Locally?
Huge. huge. I think like, that's what I said. Like at first we started with like, because there were no events. We'd like meet up around like just less than 20 people meet up and dress up. And then it progressed to like bigger events around 200 people twice or once a year. And then now around 10 years after, more or less, when it became like super popular, one of the biggest events here locally in Cebu have attracted like more than 20,000 people. Sweet. Already. From around the Philippines. So we have people, we have cosplayers from Manila coming here, from and everyone from like Duma, from CDO, like Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao, everyone comes here, depending how big the event is.
When was the last one, Miles?
2019.
2019. Was, oh, so just before?
Yeah, the pandemic.
Before COVID?
Yeah, like.
Where did you have it, the last
it
one?
It was in SM Seaside.
I see.
If I recall correctly, it was Otaku Fest. Oh, yeah, I was there as well. Yeah, I was there for work. Work and play at the same time. So yeah, I was there. It was like the last big event. And then, you know, 2 years later, we're here.
So which characters have you represented? And which one is your favorite?
I can't count anymore. I have been doing this for more than a decade, so I can't count anymore. But okay. I think...
But what's your favorite?
What's your favorite
character?
Let's say top three. Yeah, just so we don't...
Yeah. Or something, you know, like the character that really rings with you. It's like... This is like me, you know? There must be a character like that.
A lot. But I think I could say that like recently, like one of my favorite characters would be like, I'm not sure if you're familiar. It's a very niche anime. It's Jolene Kujo from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It's actually very popular. And I really like it because like I don't have to try so much to act like the character because like she's that tomboy. And then the thing about JoJo's is like you can do like super... intense poses, and no matter how dumb it looks, it still looks good. So, and then her costume's breezy. Like, I don't have to like wear too many layers because that's what tires me out the most. Like, oh, too many layers. I already have makeup on, wigs on, like lashes on.
Character. Zana, if you were going to do an anime, which one would you go for?
I don't know the new characters, you know, like where my generation, it will be Xena, the warrior princess. Mm-hmm. That would be me.
I'd be the fat Saitama.
No. You were the Saitama who didn't like do his Saitama push-ups and stuff.
Yeah. True. If I didn't do the entire 3-year thing where, what was the thing? He'd like 3,000 push-ups.
It was like 1,000 of like each.
A 1,000 of each, right? For 3 years.
And then you'd have to lose your hair for that. Are you willing to do that?
I know.
You'd be like super hot, but you wouldn't have hair. So pick a poison, man.
Right. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we love cosplay. Zana is now, you know, getting into the idea of cosplay. Talking about characters and everything. Now that you do this professionally, how did you get to a point where you did this professionally and not just a hobby?
I think I was really young when I started, and then not young enough to like be like super naive about it, but in you know, textbook definition of being a professional is you're actually getting paid because of like something you do, right?
Of a service.
So, of a service. So like that's how I guess like the first, I can't pinpoint exactly when, but like, you know, I think that was the first time when I got invited to an event, and then they told me to, can you judge for us? And then, sure. And then you're going to do like a greeting and something. I was like, okay. And then usually I did that for free. And then they were like offering me money. I was like, yeah, give me money. Like, so it was like, we'll give you a talent fee. It's like, oh, really? Awesome. And then we'll book everything. And then blah, blah, blah. I think that was like the first time that I thought, I probably am doing this right. It's like, I think I'm doing this right. All right. So they booked everything. It was like, everything was sponsored. They paid for everything. I had a buddy or something, like a nanny. He was like, no, it's okay. I'm fine. Cause like, I usually don't walk around. Like which is really ironic. Cause I'm terrified of people, like a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
But here I am dressing up as a cartoon character. People ask photos for with like
true.
You know, so like
true.
It's weird. So I guess I could say that what you said a while ago, Nico, na you just step out of that, like not you, not your like usual self, and then you just become a character, and then the feeling where people just see you and then ask a photo of you because you're probably their favorite character is so nice. It's like, it's so satisfying. I think I know how, like, you know, the Jollibee mascots feel, like, oh, it's the happiness. Also, yeah, like, it's a very genuine feeling that I get. That's why I keep on doing it. And then I'm probably good at doing it because, like, people are paying me to dress up as cartoon characters.
The fact that people pay you, like, good money only means one thing. You're headed in the right direction. Tell us a little bit about the making money part, because you know, some people, when they do the cosplay thing, they don't even think about the money. I mean, when you started, you didn't even think about the money. It was a form of expression. Now these people giving you money to do all these things, you basically just stumbled upon it. Now that's a good thing. Now how did you, I guess, to put it into perspective, how did you sustain that now that you're like more than a decade into the cosplay thing and getting people to do exactly the things that you have done? And I guess you've progressed into bigger projects. Now, how did you become a really successful cosplayer?
I wouldn't say like super successful. I'm still growing. I really believe that I'm still like trying. 10 years later, like I said, it's like, I'm probably doing it right. But I guess I would say that I'm very fortunate that I work with the right people, I guess. Like, If you do your best, and then if you're actually doing it right and you're doing it well, they will work with you more. So these people would know people, and the people they know would know other people. And I think that's how it happens. And like, if you do good work will like show. So that's how I think I network properly. So besides like streaming, besides like before pre-pandemic, like I I was invited so much. 2019 was like so busy for me. That's why my friends and I would have like jokes that every month I had a thing. So I was like, what's going on? Like, I would always be outside Cebu all the time, every month, all 12 months of 2019. So
this was more of events outside of Cebu.
Yeah. Wow. So wow. Yeah, I went to like so many places and I'm like, man, this is great. Like, we should do this all the time. I hope this never stops. And then the pandemic happened. So like, damn it. So yeah, that was really funny. But before that, though, 2019 was like, that's when I noticed. I was like, okay, this is good. Like, I'm doing well. Like, it wasn't really just work, because there was playing involved as well. Like, we'd go out and eat. Or, like, try local delicacy. Like, you know, that's the best part about like getting invited. So it's like, yeah, feed me. Yeah, that's it. Like, you learn, you earn mostly. Now, I used to stream 3 years ago, but I stopped because of like schedule conflicts. And then a company like reached out to me. It's like, hey, have some money. Like, do you want to like stream for us? Because like I had trouble talking actually before, like the first time I streamed.
Oh, doesn't show.
I know, right? No. It's good character development. Listen, it's a story. So I was invited to stream. I was like, we got you, man. Like, we can do this for you. Like, really? I tried and I got sick for 3 days. Like, I got so anxious. I got sick for 3 days. But yeah, that's one of the reasons I stopped streaming initially. But slowly, because of like, I couldn't go out anymore because of the pandemic, I became like an active streamer within like the past 2 years. Because like, you do get lonely. Like, people like me who are afraid of people do get lonely. But I just need someone to talk to. I don't need you to like hear like in front of me. So I think that's how I learned. Because having not so many viewers in the beginning really helps a lot with like just talking. It helps with character. Like, it makes you feel comfortable. So that's how I started and, you know, getting comfortable with streaming. And I look back at my old videos like, okay, I'm doing okay, I guess. So yeah, it's a character development. So I guess that's when, you know, I was like, oh, you can talk, you can do this. So here, like, then another company approached me. It's like, can you stream for us? Nah, nah, nah. So that's how I do it. And I'm sorry I'm talking so much. I'm sorry.
Okay. But it's all about learning, isn't it? It's learning.
True. So yeah. So that's what I'm just saying, that it's a slow process, but like the benefits and like at the end of the day, you learn like a lot of things. Like before, yeah, I used to not be comfortable with meeting new people and I would be mostly afraid, but it goes both ways. It's like the pandemic really like it killed like a lot of chances to like have guestings and invites and stuff, but it also helped me like develop character, which gave me like the opportunity to actually pursue streaming. So I guess it's a win-win if I think about
True.
It. It's blood, sweat, tears. Yeah, it's very different. And I'm just so happy that a lot of people respect that now.
And I guess a lot of the success that you have had over the years can point it at the fact that you did invest in yourself, not just with the actual things you bought, your costumes and everything, but you also invested in yourself, were able to market yourself really well. You got to talk to the right people that will get you to the right direction. And even with the pandemic, you were able to wiggle your way out of the situation and still be able to stream, still be able to reach out to people. You know, you were able to find other venues for you to be out there, you know, just be in the circle, be in the know.
Yeah, because it's so funny, because like I mentioned a while ago, right, a lot of people would buy pictures of you and then they'd pay.
You should see her cosplays, her pictures, Zana. She looks like the actual character. It's a great team. You have a great team of people, you know, the photographer, the person that takes care of the makeup and everything.
Okay. Mild flex. Mild flex.
That's you? Makeup and
most
everything?
Most of like 80% of it, it's mine. Like my own makeup. Yeah.
Sweet.
I do my own makeup. Wow. But you know, when it comes to like big costumes, I have other people do it. Like, I don't have time. I'm so sorry. But during the first years, like first 5 years of me cosplaying, I did everything. I did like armor and everything. So I learned from there too. And I also learned not to like not to get scammed by people who'd probably be like, hey, can I commission you to do this? I was like, nah, I know how much that costs, so you can't do that to me. So,
and that's one side of progress where when you started, you created your own costumes, and then eventually people just pay you to wear the costume.
That's a solid ROI.
Right. It's all the ROI. It's also a solid ROI.
Like, it's also painful.
It's a huge flex on you. Yeah. I mean, the part that people are now investing on you to hopefully get their materials out there and make their products look good, all because you're wearing it. So that's a huge flex.
Yeah, that's like one of my like anxieties. Like every time like I have like something done, I'm super like aggressive and it goes like, oh, it's not right. And like I feel so bad because it's like you have to like do everything from the very beginning at some things. So like I'm so sorry, but I guess like they understand why I'm like super meticulous about certain parts of the costume. But if it's stuff I can fix, it's fine, I can fix that. I can just like I can do that in my sewing machine. I can like just sew it by myself. I think that's one of the good things. Like I think one of the ways to be, you know, to get really good photos, I want to say you'd be like a super successful team, but in order to get like the cosplay done right, you'd have a good team, good set of people around you, definitely, like who has like the same vision and drive. Like even though you're like super busy, everyone has day jobs and stuff, but people who make time for you to actually like, all right, let's do this, like no sleep, let's go, like it's really nice. I think it's one of the biggest driving forces I've had so for so many years, because like even when you're tired, your friends are always there to like cheer for you. It's like, no, you can do it. Like I'm ready, I don't have sleep, but I'm ready.
Tell us or share with us the process of understanding the character.
So I'm just gonna go back to your questions. Like, okay, so of all the characters you like, well, who's your favorite? I really can't pick because I love all of them. I usually don't cosplay characters I'm not familiar with, because it's like I don't like pretending that I know this character, even though like I can't. It's hard to pose. What are you gonna do? Like what's the demeanor? What are like her the attitude, the personality? Like I need to know that. Like I started, I think it, the whole like meticulous, like super, you know, meticulous side of me came from the fact that I started really just guesting and judging cosplay competitions like all over the Philippines. I think that's when it started, because there's like this really big cosplay competition, national cosplay competition, and I've been like the judge for 5 years straight for the Cebuleg. And I think that's where it comes from, because like accuracy is always like part of that. And then because you like, I spent most of my time being a judge, it would look really bad if I didn't like, you know, I didn't show that in my work as well. So I think I blame that aspect, that I'm very meticulous because of the accuracy. So because I judge people, it's not entirely a negative thing. It's a good thing. It's a standard I set for myself.
But that's good, because it builds character. At the same time, it tells everyone that you can walk the walk and you can talk the talk.
I guess.
I'd say that. Now, the people around you. I mean, I know you have your close friends, of course, your family too. How do they feel about you being a cosplayer?
Fortunately, I was a weird kid. Like I mentioned, I was a weird kid, so my parents didn't really care. It was like, she's doing, it's normal. Like, oh, she's being weird. That's normal. Like, I didn't have friends growing up. I was like I was very introverted. I was a weird child. Everyone asks me, like, how was your childhood? It's like, all I remember was just door, like room, drawing, books, anime, like cartoons I don't understand. It was just really like that. So it wasn't a very big change. I guess it started being strange because I started like lugging in armor from nowhere. It's like, what is that? Because there was one time that I wouldn't sleep because like I was making, like, I don't know if you're familiar with the video game Monster Hunter. So it was like making an entire like armor set and just like doing it in my room. It's like, what are you doing?
So you could say the cosplay thing was your coming out party, because you were just mostly at home.
That was it. And I am secretly...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is what I've been doing for the last couple of years. Like, so this is my way of telling everyone, hey.
Yeah, this I'm weird.
This is me.
This is
I'm
me.
Weird. I'm weird. Amplified.
And there's nothing wrong. And there's nothing wrong to be weird, you know?
Yeah. And then I was so lucky because like my parents didn't say anything negative about it. That's why I'm very, very lucky.
But it's actually not, you know, like it's not, it is an expression, really, isn't it? It's like expression of yourself. And it was like, well, this is me, you like it or not. And when somehow like you get accepted to be, you know, when you are in your costume and all that, you get accepted and not just accepted, you get admired for, you know, for what you do. So, wow. How I actually see it is you haven't failed to redevelop yourself, you know, like regenerate yourself. Let's say, you know, for example, like you said in the beginning, it was this. Now you sort of like know the craft, then you improve yourself and find, oh, what are the weaknesses I have? Then you work on that.
Yeah.
And now came COVID and it goes like, wow, that threw you on another level.
Yeah,
and it
goes like,
how do I reinvent myself now? You know, and then you go like, I'm not good at streaming. I'm very bad at talking, but hey, I've got to do this. Let's try it. I love that spirit.
Yeah, now that it was recapped so well by Zana. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's like I was a very insecure child. I did not grow up with like other people. So like growing up with family, it's great. It's amazing. But growing up with like, you know, other people, like other kids, it's a different experience. So I think it's that's how like I think I really appreciate how Zana like acknowledged that, because like I'm super insecure. So the time that I have for myself, that the time that I didn't like go out or didn't work on myself, I really did that because when I started like cosplaying. So when I started cosplaying, I learned how to act like a good employee. I learned how to talk to people properly, be a professional. Yeah, I think so. But I think all of my businessy stuff, like I learned because of cosplaying, it all started there. Like character development really did start when I cosplayed. Because like you bump into troubles when you're younger and then you realize, oh, I did wrong. So you learn to be humble, especially if you were younger and then you suddenly rose like to popularity or success like super fast. But you know, you learn to be humble the moment you stumble, you fall down, and then you notice like, okay, I did bad. So you learn to be humble, you learn how to act around people. You know, I was bad socially, so I learned how to like talk to different kinds of people, because there's like professional and then there are other people who wouldn't understand or people who misunderstand. But I slowly learned how to like place myself in places that I know that would not be bothersome for other people, if that makes sense. Like I just knew when to talk now, and I just knew like to pick the fights. I knew to like be a part of something. I just knew slowly by the things that have been thrown at me because of this hobby. And because I like it so much, like despite how draining it is, I'm still around and I'm probably doing it right, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I always say that. Like every time I have a bad day, like I would lie down, cry about it, but I would say, like, I'm probably doing this right.
Yeah, because to be selected as a judge in this, you know, then, you know, like they don't just pick anybody to be a judge. So, you know, like there must be like some qualities in you or work that you've done that's actually has proven, you know, you're credible at judging. So, well done.
Thank you.
No, this is like,
even until now, like I still have like imposter syndrome. I honestly think like, oh, you can just get someone better.
Because streaming is, people can see you on video, right?
Yeah.
So like you are in a costume and then you play at the same time as if you play that character on a video games, but you are, you know?
So they sometimes like companies would tell you like, can you cosplay this character for us, because game, yay, like they do that. I think like happened to me like for Mild Flex, like we were doing like a product shoot for a big company, and then they wanted to do like a character from League of Legends. It's like, can you do this for us? Like, hell yeah, like, why not? And then another one's like one of the best things that has happened so far. So I guess like that adds to the top three list of like good best cosplays, I guess. So
yes,
yeah, it is, yeah. That cosplay was like something. No, that was
because that was the people moment. Can stream, but having another skill that nobody has, you know, like I can cosplay and I also can play. Some people can cosplay but can't play games. But you can do both, and you can stream at the same time. So you actually put yourself quite different from other people with your different skills.
You have an mega edge. Buff.
It's a mega buff. Yeah. I guess.
That's when you can demand for more money.
And that, true. Wow, I just realized that. Thank you. Yeah. I did not notice that.
Mice, you have been so gracious of your time. Thank you for joining us for this podcast, Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Now, Mice, let's give you the floor. Maybe a message to everyone who's listening right now. And also, let's give you the floor for you to promote anything that you're doing right now. Go.
Oh, okay. I'm actually solely streaming on Facebook right now. All of my pages and all my social media sites are found on my fan page. It's there in the little button there, like called the flowpage.com. A lot of people don't know that yet, but yeah, everything is there. If you want to support me, that would be really great. That helps with like future content, future streams. And yeah, I just want to thank everyone who has been supporting me despite the pandemic and despite not being able to see each other. Thanks for all like the really good stuff, the goodies and the donations and everything. And always watching my streams. I appreciate that. Every view counts and every like counts. And you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate everyone that have been very, very nice despite, you know, the pandemic and everything. And I can't wait to see everyone else. So yeah, if you're interested, all of my socials are in my Facebook fan page. So yeah, that's it. See you on streams.
Right on. So thank you so much, Mice and Vlad.
Thank you as well. I'm sorry, I was so talkative.
No, leave it. We love it. I am so in awe of what you do. You know, it was just like, wow, this is like passion, but you earn a living from your passion.
That's true.
It's a nerd living their life. Just kidding.
That's all right.
Nerds go. Let's go.
And this has been Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. This podcast has been brought to you by your friends from BSA Solutions Incorporated. Till the next one. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
This has been Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, where we help millennials get started in their journey to contented life by building the networks of life and at the same time benefiting the people around them.